So good to see you here this morning and have visitors with us, and we so much appreciate you being with us today. I was trying to think this week about what to preach about, and I have some methodology. Some of you are aware of it, some of you don't. I keep a big spreadsheet on my computer. It goes back for a long, long time. Where I classify the general subject matter of what I preach on, and I try to balance Old Testament and New Testament and look at which books of the Bible I've preached out of and how long it's been and so forth. And one of the subject categories I have is this one, the qualities of Christian character. And how I got to this morning is simply what I started thinking about when I started planning for the fact that I had the main lesson this morning, was something that was appropriate for the COVID age in which we live. And there's a number of different things that we could talk about, but there's not any question that things are worse than they were even a few months ago. We're under in Montgomery County at an advisory. If it was an order, we probably wouldn't be meeting. In Louisville, where my wife's family is, where Nate lives, the church, for instance, where Debbie's mother normally goes, is not meeting this morning because they had 3 COVID deaths this week of their members, and everybody's been exposed. It's much worse there now than it was 3 months ago, and all you have to do is turn on the news here, and it's every day, it's this many more cases, and people are looking for the time when the vaccine is ready and all those kind of things. And there can be no question. I mean, we've had folks who have not been here since the COVID pandemic started, and rightfully so, of concern for who and what they are. Shad and Amy Bernard, Shad told me last week that he wasn't sure when they would be here because I think a lot of people here know their college training is in athletic trainership and they work with an orthopedics practice, but they have now been put on a COVID testing team because of the shortage of people. And so they may be spending days where all they're doing is testing people who have been exposed, and they're concerned about whether or not they should bring that to us or that type of thing. So there's just a lot that we have not dealt with in our lives. And so that's where I got to the fact of, well, what am I going to talk about? Well, if there's anything that's been tested among Christians as we go through this pandemic, it is the requirement, the need that we have for perseverance. And so that's, I decided I would talk about that this morning. A quality of Christian character. So I guess the place to start is, well, what is character? Webster defines character as the total quality of a person's behavior as revealed in his habits of thought and expression, his attitudes and interests, his actions and personal philosophy of life. All those go together to make up a person's character. So everyone has character. Some have good character. Others have bad character. But probably most of us demonstrate some combination of both traits. There are things about our character that are good. There are things about our character that we recognize we ought to change. Scripture defines for us character traits that should serve to identify an individual as a child of God. Those are the ones we should want to have in our life and we should want to be developing in our life. And so That brought me to this choice this morning to focus our attention on what the Bible says about one of these traits that demonstrates godliness, and that is perseverance in the life of a Christian. So beginning that thought, we begin with the same basic idea. Well, if it's a part of our character, but we need to have perseverance, well, what is perseverance? And we can look at it from the basis of the way we normally use the word, and this is from the Webster's Intercollegiate Dictionary. It's the quality of being persistent and persevering. Webster often uses the word to define the word, so that's terrible. But what you have to do is then go look at the definition of persevere, which means to try hard and continuously in spite of obstacles and difficulties. So perseverance is that trait that says, I will overcome these difficulties. Paul Anderson, in his book about Christian character, talks about perseverance, and he defines it as moving to a goal despite the obstacles that are in the path of that goal. In the New Testament, the word that is translated perseverance in the New American Standard Version comes from the Greek word hypomoneia, and that means, according to the Laonida lexicon, the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. Endurance, being able to endure. Many of the translations that you may read, instead of using the word perseverance, will use the word steadfastness as a definition of this word. So what does this tell us? What are my basic fundamental observations before I go any further in the lesson this morning? Well, first of all, perseverance is not natural talent. It's not those qualities of being a superstar or of good fortune. Because you can have all of the good luck that you might want to have, or a person could have. You can have all of the natural talent. But that doesn't mean you will be a person of perseverance. I was watching one of the pregame sports shows yesterday before the football game, and they showed a feature of a young man. He was actually a star quarterback at the University of Central Florida when they rose to prominence. But 2 years ago, he was injured in the game. His knee got very heavily destroyed in the game, and they had to take him to the hospital, and the severity was so bad of the injury that it had crushed his artery and he had no blood flow to his leg, and they had to do an operation that they said was life-saving on him that day, and then 20-some operations to reconstruct his leg. And the point of that in terms of perseverance, and just made the sermon was already done, but I thought, man, this is a great illustration. Because here is a person who had that talent. He was probably going to be a draft choice for the NFL. And now it's 2 years later, and after 20-some surgeries and 2 years of rehabilitation, it showed him he's trying to play football again. But it just talked about the fact that this person who had all these natural abilities and was a star had to go through 2 years. First, his life was threatened. Didn't know whether he would live. Then they didn't know whether or not they would have to amputate his leg, which of course would have changed life altogether. Went through all of those things. And after 2 years, and when they showed him first walking, he had a person on each side of him as the therapists were just getting him to the point that he may actually play Division I football again after being out 3 years. Now, the problem, I mean, what that demonstrates is that's not natural ability. Because somebody else could have had that natural ability and suffered the very same injury and have said, I'm done. I'm going to be an accountant from this point on. Something like that. The perseverance is what he went through to overcome what was his obstacle in life? Perseverance is endurance. It's determination to make up a word that's not in the dictionary. It's stick-to-itiveness. He wasn't going to be stopped. That's perseverance. So we could ask the question then, well, why is that an important part of Christian character? Why is perseverance needed if I am going to be the type of Christian that I ought to be? Well, the first answer is that everyone, whether they're a Christian or not, faces common obstacles in this life. There's the obstacle of misfortune. And it can be economic misfortune. And that certainly does affect us in this time of the COVID. People who are losing their businesses, people who have lost their jobs, people who are not earning what they earned before, who have bills that they did not have before and lack the ability to pay. Matters of health. Obviously, we have members of this congregation who haven't been out in months because of the fear for what happens with their health. And, in the pioneer days out west, they talked about cabin fever in the mountain areas where people, when the snows came, would be basically buried in their cabins, and they provided for that. They had the firewood, they had the food and whatever. But just the thought of being locked in the same 400 square foot cabin for 90 days before the thaw came drove people crazy. And so we have people today who had their health problems managed, but because of what has happened, new stresses, new problems. There's just the other aspects of daily living that come to all people. Loved ones get sick. Loved ones die. You get sick. You get sicker than what you have been. Oftentimes, when I think about my prayers, I thank God for my good, poor health. Because 70-some years, you're now in the winter of your life, as a friend of mine describes it. And as I told someone the other day, I think the warranty on some of my parts ran out when I was 50, you know. And we all have those problems. Then on the other hand, in the midst of what, as a society, we're going through, I've got really good health compared to some folks. And so you have to look at that and you have to say, these are the stresses of life. But that's not the only one. There's the pressure of time, our modern lifetime. You know, 150 years ago, it would not be uncommon for people to never travel more than 25 miles from the place of their birth for their entire life. And we live in a time where, and I had a job like this where I had an hour and 45 minute commute just to get to my job for a few years. On traffic and all of those kind of things. And Debbie and I actually were sitting around the breakfast table yesterday kind of talking about what we were doing was amazing ourselves at how we never managed to raise three kids. And the schedule that we were on when those kids were growing up. And she said, where did we ever get the time to do that? Well, again, that is now an effective age. I don't know if any of the rest of you have this, but I find myself, you know, sitting in the bedroom realizing it's taken me 15 minutes to decide to put the other sock on in the morning. And I certainly couldn't handle running children everywhere to all the things they've got to be at and all the things we did 30 years ago in our lives. But all of us have those pressures of time. Opposition Alan talked about persecution in his lesson this morning. And we talk about persecution in the lives of Christians. But you know, persecution is not, and opposition is not unique to Christians. If you work in a job, if you work in a factory, some of my early experience was in a factory, in a union. Opposition existed there. There were people that wanted your job, wanted your shift, wanted your hours. There were people that wanted to look better than you did, and they would do what was necessary to try to make you look bad and them look good. It's just a part of life. And we face the problem of discouragement. The life and the conditions of life, the disappointments of life, the mental health issues of life arise because life as we have it is not always as ideal as of the life that we would want to have. And every one of those is a challenge and an obstacle. And some of those are made even more intense by the fact that we choose to serve God. Perseverance is the quality that is present in those who overcome the very same obstacles that stop others. That's what perseverance is. And the scriptures teach us that perseverance is needed in our spiritual life. It's a part of our everyday life, but it is something that we need in our spiritual life. In the 16th chapter of John, Jesus is talking to the ones we would call his apostles, his closest group of disciples. And he says to them in verse 31, "Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come, for you are to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Now if you recognize that, Jesus said that to his disciples on the night in which he was to be betrayed. And he said, "The time is coming when you'll all run away and leave me alone." And you remember how they initially acted? "We won't do that. Even if we have to die for you, we won't do that." But Christians, including men as strong and as mighty as the apostles, were not immune to the challenges of life. God's people have always needed perseverance. It's not new to the COVID pandemic. I don't know whether you consider that good news or encouraging news or not, but that is the reality of life, and that is what the Bible has taught us. For instance, there is Noah in Genesis 6 through 9. And most of us know the story of Noah. We've been taught it since we were children in Bible classes. But Noah, this is interpolated by the passages, but God appeared to Noah when he was 500 years old and told him he was going to destroy the world and gave him the instruction to build an ark. And the flood began when Noah was 600 years old, so there was about 100 years where Noah lived in a world that was so wicked that God said, "I'm going to destroy this world." And according to 2 Peter 3 and verse 5, during that time, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And we can only imagine what Noah experienced during this time. And people do imagine it. The Bible gives us very little difficulty, very little information about it. A few months ago when Debbie and I were in Branson, we went to see the musical Noah. And I thought it was pretty accurate, but of course a lot of it was interpreted. But this is how they pictured it, that the whole time Noah was building the ark, he was being ridiculed. And while he tried to preach to people, they dismissed him. And we think about it because we all know the story that Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives went into the ark. But in the playwright took the liberty at least to assume that the wives of Noah's sons tried to convince their parents they ought to listen to Noah and get in the ark. And they were not listened. People did not hearken to that preaching. So that in the end, Noah saved his own family and spent the better part of a year shut up with those eight people and all those animals in an ark floating on the floodwaters that God provided. The perseverance to do what God said and to preach what God wanted preached, even though people were rejecting him all around. And then ultimately to only save his own family. Took perseverance. There's the story of Israel or Jacob, and I put that up there for one reason, which you'll see in just a minute. Normally we think of Jacob, the man Jacob, the brother of Esau, the son of Isaac. And we know the story that he was sent away from Esau because Esau was rightfully angry at him for what he had done to take his blessing from him and buy his birthright from him. And he goes back to Rebekah's family, to Laban, his uncle. And in Genesis 29 and verse 20, we're told Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. He fell in love with Rachel. She was beautiful. And they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. But you know the story. He served those 7 years and his father-in-law pulled the switcheroo on him and substituted the sister Leah for the one that he'd worked for. And when Jacob complained, his father-in-law said, well, you work another 7 years and I'll give you Rachel also. And the end result of the story was that Jacob ended up working for Laban for almost 21 years before he left and went back to Isaac and Rebekah, back to Canaan with his family, which had grown to 11 sons. And we think about that, and we think about the perseverance of Jacob. But the perseverance of Jacob, who was renamed Israel by God, pales in comparison to the perseverance needed by his descendants, who spent 400 years in Egyptian bondage, awaiting for God to provide them the deliverance and to give them the land that he had promised to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Things did not always happen as quickly as most human beings would want them to happen. And they had to know and have this perseverance. Well, Jesus tells and commends perseverance, and we've been studying the parables on Wednesday night, so you remember this one in Luke chapter 18. It says, now when Jesus was telling them a parable to show that all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, Jesus talked initially about this as an exhortation to be persistent in prayer. To keep going to God and keep asking him for the things that we need. And for his care and watch care over us in this life. But if you notice at the close of the parable, Jesus expresses his concern. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will my servants be persistent? Will they persevere until the end? He wants servants who persevere. So I think in closing, that really brings us to the question, what happens if we lack perseverance in our lives? Well, first of all, we can fall. And I go back to Jesus' disciples. We looked at the passage where he warned them. Jesus indicated in John 11, an earlier passage, he is away from Jerusalem, the area of Jerusalem, and he gets the word that Lazarus is sick. And he tells his disciples they're returning to Bethany because Lazarus has died. His disciples are aware of how dangerous that is for him because they had left Jerusalem because the leaders, the priests and the Pharisees, had been seeking his life. But Thomas says in John 11, 16, he says, let us go also that we may die with him. So they had this attitude that Jesus is going to go into danger. He is our leader. We're going with him. Even if it costs us our lives, we are going with him. But we've already read the passage where closer to the time of his death, he told them, you're going to run away and leave me all alone. And so we look in the Gospels and we look to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 55, and it says, at that time Jesus said to the crowds, these are the crowds that Judas led to him to arrest him. He says, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all of this has taken place to fulfill the scripture of the prophets. Then Matthew observes, then all the disciples left him and fled. The same disciples who just a few weeks earlier had said, we're going to go back there and we're going to die with him. Now flee from him. Now we know that even such failures can be overcome. We know that 11 of the 12 that were with him on the night that he was betrayed overcame this fall and were restored and lived their life in service to him, dying for him ultimately. But their inability to persevere at this particular time led to great disappointment. And they needed to be forgiven and they need to be restored and exhorted back into service. If we lack perseverance in our life, we could fall when the struggle gets intense, when the trial gets heavy. We could also let others down and ruin ourselves. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul says to Timothy, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas had been mentioned earlier in epistles by Paul as a very faithful fellow worker. But here's Paul nears the end of his life as he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, Demas has left me. There are others that he talks about who have made shipwreck of their faith. If I lack perseverance, I can have an effect on others. I can cause their struggles and their trials of life to be intensified because I have not shown steadfastness and perseverance in my life. And ultimately, the danger is we can be lost. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, the Hebrew writer says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace?" If I lack perseverance, I can turn my back upon the very one who died for me. And the consequence of that is that I would be lost. The sanctified life of the Christian, as described in the New Testament, we've been studying that in Romans 12 the last couple of weeks. Make no doubt about it, it is demanding. The life of the Christian is demanding. The struggles and the trials that a Christian will face in their lives is demanding. In his writing to Timothy, Paul compared it to training for athletics, and I used an example of that earlier in the lesson, and of soldiering. Tasks that demand endurance. But the message for us this morning, whether we are dealing in our lives with just the stresses and the turmoil that have come about because of this COVID pandemic, or we are facing the stresses that come from the other aspects of life, we've lost our loved ones, we've lost our job, we're having other kinds of problems, whatever they may be, or even if they are the result of us wearing the name of Christ and others persecute us and mistreat us, even as Alan talked about earlier this morning. The thing we need to recognize is that the reason why this trait is so important is that while the struggles are real, perseverance to the end is worth it. Paul says, near the end of his life, a passage that I'm sure that you're all aware of. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who loved his appearing." The importance of staying with it to the end. The reward is great. We are challenged with that. If you get your songbooks out, we will proceed to the singing the invitation song number 935. We'll sing that song, and if there's one in the audience this morning that wants to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing that song.